Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You are about to listen to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring. Let's take a little bit of time out first, though, my friends, my fan friends. Saying it in a Southern Baptist accent doesn't make it any more true, Rich. Sorry, Stu. Anyway, the audio is free, and I hope you will enjoy it. But if you want to contribute financially, we do have paid video versions of these podcasts available at gofasterstripe.com. It's £15 for the whole of Series 4, which will be at least 7 podcasts, or £3.50 an episode. Even just buying one episode will really help us finance future comedy projects. So if you want to see this carrying on, you're the comedy commissioners of this series. It can only survive with the financial input from you. So if you felt like giving us something, that would be terrific. But if you can't, then don't worry. Just tell your friends about the podcast, and hopefully one of them will be rich enough to give us some money. But sit back and enjoy the podcast. It was a lot of fun to do, I have to say. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who would run 3.1 miles, but who will not run 3.1 miles more, is Richard Herring! Thank you very much. Hello, how are you doing? Love to see you all. Thank you for coming. Welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre podcast. This is Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I am Richard Herring, but all the cool kids are calling it Rahelastapur. Quite a lot of cool kids in. That's good to see. I like it when cool kids come. You may wonder why I came in. I've just run a half marathon yesterday. That's what that was about. Thank you. I got all the way around in 2 hours, 37 minutes and 41 seconds. Just getting inside the 2 hour, 38 minute barrier that all serious athletes are aiming for. It's about 45 minutes off my personal best, so I was very pleased, as you can imagine. I was glad to get round. You always see like someone in trouble. And there was a really horrific man screaming in agony at mile 12. I hope he is still alive. He was making so much noise that I think he probably was still alive, but it was absolutely terrifying. It's such a fun event until someone ruins it by dying. But think of the sponsorship. So you may wonder why I've come on with a tennis racket. If you've seen the first two episodes of this series, I'm amazed because the second one isn't even out yet. And the first one came out today. But we were beset by a plague of flies who apparently were here because some born-again Christians who were in the theatre had left some rubbish around or something. Or it might have been a miracle from God. or it might have been a punishment from God. That is more likely. So there were loads of flies. So this is a present I have just received today. It comes from Adrian Reynolds, who was in the audience. He said, have been there for the fly fun on Monday. I thought you might need this for the future. What this is a tennis racket, but if you touch a button, it becomes electrified, and then you hit. It's quite good fun, although it does say on the... It does say on here, this executioner, it's called an executioner, which I like. They've made it like a tennis racket, and then they just thought, let's call it an executioner anyway. They could have thought of a tennis-based pun. Maybe we'll think of one later for it. It produces static electricity, charge imbalance, push the button and zap mosquitoes, flies, wasps, or any flying or crawling insect. Of your choice, it doesn't have to be the ones they recommend. The shock is powerful enough to kill most mosquitoes. That doesn't sound that powerful to me. Some mosquitoes are fine. It can take the wings off a fly. It's a shame there are no flies around. No messy splats on the wall or dangerous chemical sprays. The executioner is composed of only the highest quality materials and is guaranteed for 1 year. It's indispensable for those who sit outdoors, camp or barbecue, or are in the Leicester Square Theatre. Warnings! Touching the grill with a red light on will result in a shock. Do not zap animals or people. Keep out of the reach of young children. Keep 1 foot 30 centimetres away from all sensitive electronic equipment. So we may have made it, including pacemakers. Have anyone got a pacemaker in the front row? Keep dry at all times. Keep metal objects away from the grill. Does anyone want to be electrocuted to find out what it's... Do you want to be electrocuted, Tom? No? Do you want to be electrocuted, Butler? Do you want to give it a go? Yeah, you've got to buy the video to see that. There she is. Did it hurt?
Sorry.
Did it hurt?
Marginally.
Marginally. You're very brave. What's your name?
Ruth.
Thank you, Ruth. Thanks for being. That was much more scary than I thought it would be. But that's quite good to just have on hand, isn't it? For a heckler's. I didn't think it really spot. I hope I got that on film because I was just pointing. Are you? You're a tennis player. So I'm used to being electrocuted by tennis rackets. Who knew? If you're a tennis player who plays only during electrical storms, then yeah, this must... And uses your hand as a ball. I'm into sadomasochistic sex. So it's actually... I am quite used to that. Well, terrific. Look, we've only got our first guest for a limited time, so I'm going to get straight on and introduce her. I know you've all come to see her. She is probably best known as Mrs. Lily Lemon from Hotel Trouble. That is her most famous role. Will you please welcome Miranda Hart, ladies and gentlemen? Hopefully. There she is. Come in, sit down. Take out a microphone. We got these are new, these are special new. We had never had these before.
I like before. Them. Who's Ruth?
There, she just.
Oh,
did.
God, you're so brave. Someone's gonna die.
She went full on as well. The palm of her hand. She
really
wasn't
frightening.
Could have gripped the thing and then been stuck. I could have just let the button go, but I wouldn't have done. I hope I caught it on film. I was so it was. There was an actual flash of electricity.
I did a jump. I jumped.
I thought she might be dead. Yeah. How are you doing? Thank you for coming along.
My pleasure. This is fun. I'm enjoying myself already.
So we'll get this out of the way because this is what everyone will ask you about. So yeah. What was it like? How was it in Hotel Trouble? Being
I was
Mrs. Lee.
Hotel Trouble. I like show. Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember like, anything about it.
It was like a child's version of Fawlty Towers, from what I recall. Not that I'm obsessed with children's television.
Just have a little hat on. Tiny.
I haven't watched it.
You sounded like you knew your chisel about it.
No, I just go through imdb.com.
Oh, I see.
Pick on the most obscure.
I genuinely
thing.
Remember nothing.
High all the
Not
way through.
Not Liz Lemon, that's 30 Rock. What's she called? Mrs. Lemon.
Mrs. Lily Lemon.
Lily Lemon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great day. It's a great show. Really enjoyed it.
All right,
it.
Well, we'll move on to another obscure role.
Yeah.
In which the star of this movie, which I'll call it a movie, was amazing. Mm. You were in a film called A Very British Cult. Has anyone seen that?
Yeah.
This
is going to be awkward when you find out who the star is.
It is pretty... I was the star.
Terry.
It's one of my three acting roles I've done.
What were the other two?
Well, I've probably done more than I was in You Can Choose Your Friends, which is a thing I co-wrote, which I wrote, and then was in. In which I mainly had sex with a pretty actress most of the way through.
Well, perk of writing.
But it is. Yeah. You're not averse to a little bit of yourself.
Well, I don't go around seeing the pretty girls in my show. No.
You can do if you want. You can. But you've got like a couple of bows in your sitcom.
Yeah, a couple of casting of tall men is always the perk of the job.
And I've also I've done quite a few. I can't think of anything else I've been in. Oh, I did a short film called Hard to Swallow, which is really good.
Okay.
In which I played a man who ate lots of potatoes. I was making mashed potatoes and ate them, and then I had to take some cocaine. Not really. It was just acting.
Sounds brilliant.
Yeah. And then there was I couldn't tell you. It's a very short film, and there's a surprise at the end. But you have to watch.
Doesn't sound as good as a very British cult.
No. Though. So what do you remember? What do you remember? It was filmed in Western Supermare.
It was
in about 2003 or 2004, something like that.
Was it that
far back?
2001. Yeah.
My God.
I know, with Emma Kennedy.
Yeah.
Who else was in it? Jerry McNulty.
Gus thingy from Gus and
Gus
thing.
And thing. You know, Gus and thing.
The bloke from
The Thick of It.
Joss's Giants. The star of Joss's Giants.
Oh. No.
Anyone know? You know what I mean? He was in it.
Who's that?
I can't remember. I've gotten really well with him, and now I'm embarrassed because I should have looked at his name before from my IMDb. He was a nice guy. I think you might. Who played your husband? You were married. You were only
Gus Brown, who was Gus Brown. 5'4".
Yeah,
so that was funny.
It was fun.
Our children be perfect.
We were waiting for Jesus. We were waiting for Jesus.
We were waiting for Jesus to return.
And then you went off.
I went to a service station where I thought he was going to return.
Yes.
And met him, but he was just an actor in the local Jesus Christ Superstar. It's a genius bit of film writing.
For some reason was trying to advertise his play in a service station.
Dressed as Jesus,
it always
yes.
seemed a bit odd, that.
No, I decided to ruin it because I had a hunch they probably weren't going to immediately look it up.
You can get it. You can watch it on YouTube.
The YouTube. I prefer.
You're very good in it. I'm surprised I didn't get any other roles.
As a result
of that. Now, you are very posh, even though you say you're not. You've got like about five. Your Miranda Hart isn't even your real name. Hart is two of your names, but it's not one of them.
Yeah.
They're really called Miranda Catherine Hart Dyke.
Yeah.
Didn't want to go for Miranda Dyke.
Ditch the Dyke. I ditched the Dyke.
Did you?
My grandmother's like, I don't understand why I get rid of the Dyke. Didn't understand. Well, it also means. Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. It's your real name. I think if you're a proper actress, you can probably do Miranda Hart Dyke, can't you?
Yes, I think so.
But as a comedian, it's like you're setting yourself up for the jokes at you.
Well, it looks like a joke name. Miranda Dyke would look like you thought was the funniest. You think, oh, I've got to come up with a really funny. It's like Richard Herring, basically. I've come up with a really funny comedy name.
Well, it could be Randy Dyke.
Yeah.
And then that would be proper funny. Maybe I'll start becoming Randy Dyke.
If we bring Carry On Films back, I mean, you'd be amazing at Carry On. We should bring Carry On Films back, and you should be in them.
Miranda Hart's playing Randy Dyke.
But you are content. I'm very interested in genealogy.
Okay.
And you can trace your family back to the 12th century, which only really posh people can do.
Right. I don't know. You probably know more than me.
Look
at your little booklet.
It's nice. It's very nice.
I think James I it goes back to.
James I.
I think so.
It's quite posh.
Yeah. But a lot of people can go back to a king, can't they?
No.
I know.
We probably could if we
I
knew.
They could. Yeah.
But no, we can't. You and Alexander Armstrong. Alexander Armstrong is related to William the Conqueror.
He's way posher. He's proper posh. He doesn't even disguise it on a game show in the afternoon at BBC One. I mean, you can tell most posh people because they try and disguise it. See, I think you're probably posher than you.
Me? No, I'm not. I'm less posh than I appear.
Really? You're poshing up.
I'm pretending.
Is this you poshing up?
I've got you and Miles Jupp here today. I'm really going to have to either go really working class.
Yeah.
I'm very middle class. My parents are teachers.
Right.
Whereas all your family seem to be admirals and MPs and...
Yeah, there's a lot of Navy.
Navy based.
Yeah, my dad was a captain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a heroic captain in HMS Coventry in the Falklands War.
Yeah, he was the last great sort of naval war hero, my dad. Very right. Proud.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Yeah, the ship went down. I don't know why you're laughing.
No, I'm not.
The ship went down.
It was a terrible tragedy. A lot of people did die, but you're talking about...
You find it hilarious. He survived.
He did.
It's an amazing story, actually. 15 minutes it took for that frigate to go down. Yeah, I said frigate, didn't I?
And go down. I think the audience would really have to be... The audience would really have to be searching for double entendres to be going, I hope there's going to be some rude sex jokes in this story of one of the worst things that happened in the Falklands War.
Yeah. You started by laughing in my face about it.
I thought you just sort of so funny that I thought it was going to be a joke. Then I got nervous. This happened to me the other day. I was in Armenia last month.
Doing
a TV show with David Baddiel.
Got him his
correct name. That's how my dad calls him, so that's his name. And we had to spend loads of money in Armenia. It was a really weird job that we had. But there was a translator from Armenia, and they really hate Turkey and Armenia, because there was basically a genocide. Turkey, there was a war, and Turkey kind of basically killed loads of Armenian people and then stole Mount Ararat and loads of
territory. Is that the funniest thing ever to you?
But she was quite nice lady. She started talking about Turkey, going, oh, I hate Turkey. And I thought, this is like where you go anywhere, and they start going, oh, we hate the next door country. And I sort of went, And she said, it is no laughing mess. And then I had to sort of stand there for the rest of the conversation, sort of trying to make the smile... I couldn't go straight to not smiling because that would look like I was laughing. I had to kind of just gradually just take it down. I wasn't laughing at the slaughter of Armenians. And if I had to side with anyone now, I've been to Armenia, I do hate everyone from Turkey.
Right. Are you the type of person who laughs when someone tells you bad news? And people, that must be really awful. When you just go, I've got something really bad, and you can see them starting to smile.
I find it difficult not to laugh at most things. It's a natural response. Also, I kind of don't listen very much.
Right.
I'm a bit deaf.
Someone's telling you a story, you don't know where it's going, and you just end in a laugh, and they've just said that their dad's has died. Shit, sorry.
It can happen. But your dad is not...
No.
Did not die, luckily. Fortunately, he's survived.
He's a hero.
And you went to school with Claire Balding.
I went to school.
She's posh.
Claire Balding, she was my head girl at school.
Yeah.
Yeah, a few years above me, way old.
And you went to the same school as Kate Middleton went to as well.
Yeah, not at the same time. No.
But if things had gone differently, that could have been Harry.
He's more fun, isn't he? Harry. Yeah, I think that's about my match. That's my level. But Kate was only there for two terms. Rumour has it she got bullied, but apparently it's because she couldn't possibly stay at Downer House School for Girls because they only did lacrosse, not hockey, so she had to leave immediately, apparently. These are these tricky, troubled times when you're a boarding school lass.
It's a different world.
It's a tough world.
It's like you're from Harry Potter, literally. that's what the rest of us think. Quite a lot of my fans probably went to public school. Who went to private school here? Cheer now. Quite a few, more than I thought. Yeah. Though they're just your friends have come along. Though actually, it's a girl's school.
I'm very happy about it. I loved school. Did you not like?
No.
Oh, wow.
No!
Why? What was wrong with school?
Where to begin?
All my family are teachers. You've just insulted me very well. Now you're just laughing in my face as I say something serious. What went wrong? Was it really boring though, or did occasionally? There are no boys around. Let's just practice kissing. Did that ever happen?
No, there wasn't.
Did that ever happen to you?
No, there really wasn't.
No.
Yeah, I look back. Incredibly. Yeah, no, there wasn't.
I bet it was happening. No one fancied you two. After the show, if you two want to get together, make up for lost, or during the show, actually, we are filming it. I can spank you with this.
Yeah. Nice.
It's all always going to be good. I'm going to go to an emergency question, not because this is what I do, but I've got an, I'm very excited because I've got a new emergency question.
Okay.
I usually ask people what would they rather have, a hand made of ham or an armpit that dispenses sun cream.
Oh, brilliant.
But I'm not going to ask you.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you instead, this comes out of something that happened in the first podcast of the series, would you rather have a tit that dispensed talcum powder, or, this is a new thing I made up today, I'm very proud of this, and this is going to be the new one, there's nothing can go wrong with this one. We're never going back to the old one. It's either a tit that you go, and like... And it's everlasting. The talcum powder is everlasting. It won't, with a ham hand and the armpit sun cream, it dried up, or you know, had to wait for it to grow back. With the talcum powder, it'll just be one tit.
Is this one of your moves, by the way?
No, I'm just going to do it to myself. I'm married now. I can only touch my own tits, not even my wife's. This
it's
is
not because you're squeezing her tit. I'm gonna, get off, Richard.
Where's the talcum powder? Yeah. This or a finger. That can travel through time. But just,
so what?
Just
your finger.
Just your finger. But wouldn't that be good? Because it could go wherever you wanted. You could like poke people in the face. Or it could get sexy, whatever you wanted. There's not that
How
many
things. How does it work if you poke people in the face, but with where you're at?
Well, no, it can be, you could just, it would work. But, I'm not just making this up.
Yeah.
It would work in that you would go, right, finger, travel back to 1945 and poke Adolf Hitler in the face.
I see what you mean.
Just as he's in his bunker.
Yeah.
And you go, and then your finger would disappear.
Yeah.
Or it would just, I think you'd just do that.
Go through a portal.
And it would go, you would still feel it on your hand, but you would look and go, where's my finger? And then you might just hear through the portal.
Yeah.
And I would go, ash, find on fire. Which would you rather have the
talcum?
But bear in mind, the talcum powder would be everlasting. So I reckon you could only probably the power of the time travel probably once a month. You could do that.
Oh, really?
I reckon you get bored of it as well.
The thing is, talcum powder is. Does it have to be? Oh, talcum is really unhealthy, isn't it? Doesn't it clog all ye pores?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does. It would be a bad thing.
When I was growing up, talcum powder was the thing.
Yeah.
After every bath, covered in. Mum covered me. That's the thing, right?
Yeah.
In the 80s, not anymore so much. Does anyone use talcum powder anymore?
For babies, I think you can use it on babies' bottoms.
Over there.
If you've got bad sweaty feet, if you're a runner, I don't have this running, you could put talcum powder on your feet after you've been running.
Because I thought it was really bad for you. It stopped you sweating and all the sweat sucked back up and you died or something.
I think if it was inside
your... I'm not a doctor.
I haven't thought about it. I think if it was inside your body, that would probably be quite... But it won't
I'd be really frustrated about my finger going back because I'd want to be with it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You could hear, though. Can your finger speak to you?
Did it have the power of speech? As it returns just briefly for a minute just to tell you.
Because then it could change history if it could speak. But then everything would change.
Yeah.
But or you could just be in there up Napoleon's bum or something.
Yeah.
Tonight, Josephine.
Fingering history would be.
There are probably other things. I've only just thought of two things you could do with a finger.
Yeah.
There may be other things.
Picking people's nose.
You could do that.
I prefer the titty talcum powder.
Okay, good. That's good to know. Good new emergency question. I think you will all agree.
Yeah.
If you had invented a tennis racket that could exterminate flies, what would you call it? Would you call it the executioner? Because I wouldn't, because it's a tennis racket. Can you think of a better name?
I'd call it the tennis-tomator. Tennis-minator.
The serve-minator.
The serve-and-die machine.
I think they went through this.
Swipe-percussion.
They probably went through all this, and then that's why they went for the executioner in the end. They couldn't... Yeah. They probably went ball fly. No. Good. So I'll ask you another emergency question.
Okay.
They're not all... I'll do this. This is from a Welsh child who's also asking you... I do have some Welsh children working for me writing questions.
Right.
But
they were asking me a question or they're asking
you? They've asked everyone questions. There are some specific ones for you. They're not very good. I will sack my... But I'm going to ask you one of the generic questions that came up with the child. Would you rather be a cow or a badger and why?
Well, I've been living on and off on a farm recently.
Have you?
Yeah. So, But I've been writing, I'm getting out of London to write, so I'm living in the middle of nowhere on this farm, which I kind of love. And I've discovered the farm, my local farm now tells me that badgers are proper frightening. So they will, I've got a dog, and apparently the badger will go for unprovoked for no reason and kill my dog.
Right, that's not good.
So that's not good. But then I quite like the idea of getting randomly furious like that. And I am properly terrified of cows.
Yeah.
Really scared of cows.
Are you?
Even though they're quite cute, really. But they charge and kill you.
Yeah, but if you were one, they probably wouldn't
charge me. Well, I might be a really unpopular shit cow that gets charged by its own. I'm going to be a badger.
Badger?
Yeah.
That's a good choice. Shall I ask you one of the other...
The shitty questions.
Yeah, they're not good. He's done quite well in the past. It was a question from this child that made Stephen Fry open up like a flower, like a whatever.
Oh, let's see what happens.
So let's see what happens to you. What inspired you to do what... sorry, I'll start again. What inspired you to do what you do? Which seems to have an implied whatever that is. I don't know. I'm sure he does know who you are.
Who this is, but whatever you do, what inspired you?
What inspired you to do whatever it is you do?
Boring but true. It was Eric Morecambe.
Right.
Yeah, just seeing him. And the reason was because I'd been told to not be silly that day. And I couldn't bear being told to not be silly by my parents. And then I saw on television these two men being really silly and hilarious. And I thought, it's fine for them to be silly. I'm going to do what they do. That was it. And I can remember it. I was about seven. So, yeah.
And you met Eddie Braben, who was their main writer, just who recently died.
Yeah, just before he died. About 2-3 months before he died.
Would you think it was your... Well, I'm not going to laugh. I don't want to laugh at the death of Eddie Braben. That's the last thing
you
I want to
have.
Do. I didn't. You managed to laugh. I stayed stony faced.
I didn't kill Eddie Braben. I did not kill him.
No, okay.
No.
But that was an amazing thing.
He was the nicest man. He gave me a massive hug and was really humble and sweet. I cried when I left.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe I got that close to Morecambe Wise.
Yeah.
You know, it was amazing. And he was kind of... You know when you meet some comedians who are always on and they have to be telling jokes.
Yeah.
And normally I find those comedians really exhausting. Kind of fascinating, but we won't name and shame. But you know what I mean. There are lots of people who have to be on and have to get the laugh. And he was like that, but in such a charming sort of childish way, because he wanted you to be having a laugh. It wasn't about him.
Yes.
It was amazing. He was a great guy.
Did he send you some jokes?
And he sent me an email... just before Christmas, said happy Christmas. Here are 10 new Eddie Braben jokes.
Wow.
And you could just hear Eric Morecambe saying them. But then it was also really weird because they were so old.
Yeah.
You know, they were so of their time. But yet you could think if Eric Morecambe said that, such was his genius that we would laugh now, I think. Things like one of them was, I must take the dog out. It's been in the oven for 2 hours.
Nice.
You know, just sort of really shitty joke. Somebody really... fake laughing.
Good thing is, we don't have to pay him either. That's the good thing. So he got his joke.
Yeah. But Eric Morecambe...
What? Sorry, go.
Eric would make that funny.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing.
You made it funny. That was good. Let's get all 10 of them out.
Thanks.
So we'll go back to the proper question. We might have another question from the young Mr. Evans... later, but that wasn't very good. I could have asked that question.
All right.
Wasted my time. I won't ask a question for Miles Jupp. So I have this quite a lot in reverse.
Yeah.
That you are occasionally addressed as Sir or Mister by people.
Or do you get?
I often get mistaken for a woman.
Do you?
Only in airports, but planes.
Why just in airports?
Don't know. I went to Armenia. It was 5 o'clock in the morning, and I went through the scanners, and the guy said, "Madam, can you put your..." bag here,
but,
and then I turned around, and then I had a kind of full beard, and it's like a 1970s, it's like an Eddie Braben joke, and then his mate, he went, "Oh, sorry, sir," and his mate was really pissing himself, which I don't think they're allowed to do, because if you're not allowed to make a joke with them, are they? They should not ever laugh, because you can't go, "Oh, there's a bomb in here," because then you'd be arrested. They shouldn't be allowed to make jokes.
No, that's not fair. Has anyone ever kept looking at your face and still kept going with the conceit? Does that have interest?
No, I don't think so. But when I'm clean shaven, I mean, I would be quite an unattractive woman.
I mean, I'm
not a great looking man.
Yeah, I think you're a very good looking
thank
man.
Thank you very much.
I
was going for those.
Even
flirts.
Better looking woman.
Oh, do you think so?
Yeah.
If I had tits that squirted talcum powder.
You'd be.
I wish I could do sound effects much better than just. could make a different sound than that. So that, does that happen on a... Is it when, presumably from... I mean, because you're tall and...
Yeah, it's, I don't think anyone's kept looking at my face and said, sir, I hope not. I haven't erased that. But yeah, a lot. Yeah. Just in shops and stuff, you know, thank you, sir, and they're looking up. And I love watching their faces. Initially, when it first... Because I had long hair till I was about 29, so it started when I had short hair. And initially, I was just mortified. And it was just really scar me. I'd really struggle with it. And then I found it hilarious. So I just vary the way I look at them. And sometimes I just go... and just see how embarrassed they go.
Yeah.
And just vary my response to it. So it's quite amusing. But, yeah, no one's continued to look at me, luckily. No. So sorry. But someone from the back, my gate... is obviously quite manly.
Right.
Because I had, sir, you've dropped something as I was walking away, and I obviously didn't turn around. And he was getting a bit, sir! And I turned around, I was like, oh, that's
well, that means I'm very womanly from behind, because I'm only mistaken for women from behind.
Yeah, but that's the hair.
It's the hair and the bottom.
And the,
yeah,
very maybe,
womanly bottom.
Maybe you've got sort of hip chasse. Apparently I sort of really lollop, like, from side to side. That's more manly.
We could do an hilarious cross-gender film where we have to, for some reason,
let's
pretend to be the opposite gender than we are. It could could work out. And you're very sporty, or which is maybe a surprise. Because you make your
gait.
Living being slightly ungainly and not the no you're, yeah. you're very slim at the moment. You've obviously at the moment because you know as it can always go the other way.
It can.
Yeah, because I'm just... you know as you've noticed pretty svelte myself.
No,
you're looking good. Is all
thanks,
I was trying to say.
Thanks,
I would definitely do you if
cult,
I wasn't married.
Actually.
And maybe if I am married, I might still do it if there
well,
was time.
Well, there's a little room backstage. Our children would be the right height as well.
They would. Luckily, my wife is a little bit taller than me. So
oh,
that's,
really?
Yeah, so I'm hoping that will balance out. Is that,
yeah.
They might just, you know, I
see,
go
I
to
I think
extremes.
That's a real man who can have a woman who's taller.
Yeah.
That's an alpha male right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I like it. Like, a lot of her taller friends say, oh, do you have to wear flat shoes? Or something? No, I love, really like having a much taller
wife.
Do you?
Yeah. That's nice. See, I don't think I could go out with a smaller guy.
Can't you?
No.
Well,
it's a shame. It's
once
a shame.
You've sampled the goods down here, then
you
think you might change your mind.
Yeah.
Like a poodle can have sex with a Great Dane.
Yeah.
It can happen.
Yeah. A great poodle.
What, are you saying I'm saying Miranda is a dog now? So you're saying that's not what I'm saying.
No, thanks for the compliment. No, I've been trying
thank
to.
You.
Got,
it was, you know.
I've got a bit of weight to go, but I'm trying.
Me too. Yeah. I'm trying, but I ate a massive pizza and a whole pack of minstrels yesterday. But I did run 13.1 miles.
So I think that was I ate a pie earlier, so. Yeah.
But you.
What were we talking about?
You had a trial
that?
For QPR, the football, is that true?
Yeah, it's true.
In the women's
it's
football
true.
Team. They the didn't mistake you for a man.
That would be really.
What are you, son? Come in here. You're even wearing. You're almost wearing the QPR top there. The
I genuinely wouldn't know. Am I?
Nearly.
Yeah, no. I played football with friends at university, and they all, you know, all the lads go, "Oh, you're quite good," you know. And so then me and a mate went, "Perhaps you really are actually really good." And so we went, and QPR ladies had a sixth division. We thought, surely they're going to be shit, surely. And then I arrived, and they got quite excited because they saw the height. They thought she could be defence. She could be up front. You know.
Yeah.
Peter crouching it all the way. And I was really bad. Embarrassing. They're really good. And then I had a massive argument with my mates who said they were sort of first team at their schools kind of thing and then trying to carry on into uni or whatever. And they said we would definitely beat the England girls football.
Right.
And I was like, there's no way you would. We had this, and they were convinced that they would beat them.
Right.
And I'm right, right? There's no way. They're actually, although they look rubbish on telly, they're actually really good at the football.
So the boys thought they could beat the
Boys thought they could beat the England girls football team.
That's what boys are like. I remember genuinely being 10 years old and I wasn't good at football. One of the kids who was good at football as a 10-year-old said if Fairlands Middle School second years played Liverpool, who were the top of the Premiership, one time out of 100 they would beat them. Just by the law of averages. And I said, you would never beat Liverpool. Only if a lightning struck and killed everyone in the Liverpool
then
team.
Would.
Then you still might not win. to be honest.
I was convinced, because I wanted to be a 100-metre sprinter, I was convinced that I could beat Sebastian Coe at some
sprinting.
Point.
Sprinting.
Well, so
really
when I wrote to Jimmy Fixer, I hate to bring things back to Jimmy Savile. Okay. But things always do tend to come back to Jimmy Savile. I said, please can you fix it for me to run against Sebastian Coe, but will you tell him to run normally and not let me win? Because I really genuinely want to see how far behind I would be.
Right.
I could bear the thought of him patronising my sprinting.
At 100 metres, though, because he's not a 100-metre runner, Sebastian Coe. So he might not be that good.
Maybe that was the part of the...
Because I can't sprint at all, but I can... Right. I used to be all right at middle distance.
Yeah, running. I can't run more than 20 minutes.
Right.
I can't, I just...
So maybe what the film is that you want to become the female middle distance champion runner,
right.
But you can only run for 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Then I take over with my womanly
game.
With your
long hair.
And you pretend to be me. I think we look quite similar.
Do you?
Yeah. I think that could be. We could do Twelfth Night together.
A lot of me just died inside.
I don't think anyone would spot the difference.
Do you think facially we look quite?
No,
alike?
and in all
in
ways,
every way.
In height.
Interesting.
Yeah. So do you still do running now?
Sprinting, unless as a child or professionally, is absurd. I mean, you don't, you know, unless I did it professionally, I wouldn't sprint 100 metres, would I? Where and when
I go
would
down
you do
to
that?
The track, just go have just, a quick 100 metres.
I mean, how does it work? I just wouldn't. Well, just on the street, I'm just going to mark this out and I'm just going to... In the part, you'd look a bit mental. You look like you're doing interval training, but if you just did 100 metres and stop, that's... It just sort of doesn't...
What was your record 100 metres time?
12.06.
Wow.
Yeah. And then
a guy... Listen to that. That was the low sound of impressed men there. Ooh. That was faster than I thought.
She's like, well, fast.
That is very... Oh, look. Oh, fuck.
See, for the people who didn't know, we did just see a flying. I think we've gone mental.
I've got to get ready. It was a little tiny one. It would be very cruel
really
to
small.
Take it out with this.
It was
this.
Really small.
Last week it was like blue bottles just flying in everyone's face. I was very embarrassed.
But it would have been hilarious with that. We would have had so much fun.
She's going to do you again to make up?
No, don't. Cause she will die.
Okay. Anyone else want to crack on it after seeing what happened last time? It was good fun. I'll ask another question from Ben Evans. Watch out.
Did
if you
it?
See the fly coming again, do shout out. And it's like a pantomime now. It'll be fun. Let's see what the other question. See, again, I don't understand most of these questions.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that thing you did? I don't think he's saying, can you talk? I mean, it's not a question your ability to talk about a thing you did. He's just saying, will you talk about?
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Where you were singing with a bunch of other people and some people gave you money.
Carol singing? Oh, it would have been Fame Academy.
Yes, maybe it was.
Comic Relief.
Yes.
That was horrendous. I hated every minute of that. Oh, just... Because no one knew who I was And so that's mortifying anyway, because people are going, you're one of those that people are going, that doing celebrity fame academy. And that word anyway is hideous. And then I can sing all right, like the teacher said, you're right at singing. And then in public, my throat literally completely constricts. I'm so terrified of it. And I had to do Let's Get Physical, Olivia Newton-John, which is apparently hilarious, because I was at the comedy town. Let's get so frightened, and a headband, the whole thing. Oh, I hated it. And Tara Palmer Tompkinson was part of the thing.
Right.
She's mental. I don't... she's really, really...
What was the worst, most...
She just thinks like... She's a seven-year-old trapped inside a 39-year-old woman's... So she'd storm in to the makeup room in just her pants and a pair of boots. Is anyone... So you're like, 39. That's what a seven-year-old would do, and you think it really cute and hilarious.
Yes.
She's just really weird.
She beat you then?
She won.
Did she?
That's how dire the whole thing was. She won.
Wow. It must have been a while ago, because she's not really a celebrity anymore.
No. It was 2007.
Was it? So it was like literally just before you sort of broke into... Well, did your radio show was 2008, wasn't it? So
yeah. I did Hyperdrive.
Of course, you're in Hyperdrive. We can't forget that.
Yeah. Well, there's a...
Someone, what I like about this,
you
Miranda...
You who watched it.
Someone shouted, I liked it. And no one has said anything yet. It was like a very defensive, supportive... Well, I liked it.
I liked it.
No one said no one didn't like it.
Oh, thanks. There were a few people who watched it.
Dan Antopolsky was in it. He probably
Nick
watched
Frost
it.
Nick Frost was in it. Kevin Eldon.
Kevin Eldon was the actor. It was a very good... No one shouted out. This could be embarrassing.
That's near me.
It's dangerous as well near electronic equipment. Yeah. We could both go up. It'd be a great way to go. A very slapstick death.
Yeah.
imagine that Miranda Hart was killed today by a man hitting her with the tennis racket. People go,
woman electrocuted her.
And you were the favourite thing. I don't really watch Not Going Out, but I used to watch the opening titles. And my favourite thing about, which I want to make you do now, was in the titles of Not Going Out.
Yeah,
it would go through the titles, and then you would go, "Sorry, can you do that for me now?" That's my favourite thing you've ever done.
Sorry, no, before I do that, which is weird, but I will. Why you just watched the titles, then you went. Nah.
I thought it can't get any better than that. It can't get any better than Miranda Hart going, sorry. My friend Andrew Collins used to write for it. So I used to take the piss out of him and say that's all I liked about.
Have you ever watched an episode?
I wouldn't watch it because he wrote it. So I knew it'd be bad.
Hilarious.
But can you do the?
Yeah. So
the sorry,
but you've got to put the pulling out the plug. Did you ever realise why the lights go off? Sorry.
It's good. There you go. I'm happy.
I mean, of all the things that I have worked at in this job that some people like, some people equally think are shit, which is fine. I have to say sorry.
Yeah. Do people shout that at you in the street?
Never once.
They go, do the sorry.
Sometimes people shout, I'm Japanese at me.
Do they?
Which is from a tiny part I had in Abfab. Right. And I'm just like, what? And then I remember.
Yeah.
I'm Japanese! It's quite weird.
It is. Well, we get that a lot from... I get people chatting things from like 1990s radio shows that we did once that I don't have any memory of at all.
Don't remember.
So I can't. So people could just make things up and shout them at me. I try to make my catchphrases as convoluted and difficult as to say as possible. No one has ever come up to me and said, I like motorcycling, motorcycling around, round, round on my motorbike, which goes on for quite a long way. I can't remember the whole. No one's ever said that to me in full. And they never
were. Were you hoping that was a catchphrase?
I was, yeah. I was deliberately trying to come up.
Did you write a catchphrase? Deliberately?
I wrote a sketch for As It Occurs to Me, which I did with Emma Kennedy, another connection. It kind of failed on the night. It was about me going to a motorcycle clothing shop and pretending I liked motorcycling.
Right.
But I just, like a mad thought.
Okay.
But no one liked the sketch. No one liked the sketch.
Your catchphrase.
So then I just did it every week until people liked it. Because I thought it was good. And that is the way my comedy works. And that is why I am not currently on primetime BBC One. Like, but it was kind of an incredible rise, a quick rise to going from to be complete, you know, from being a successful actor and comedian to being like the most famous, almost the most famous comedian in the country, or the most.
Well, I certainly do not feel that.
Do you not? I mean, I think it was like very fun. Your career had been going on for a while. So it wasn't an overnight success,
no,
but
I don't feel
the change was very
famous.
Well,
is what
you
I meant.
Are very famous.
But it kind of the series because it was 10 years I think of Edinburgh festivals and whatever before the series. So it felt like it was sort of slowly growing. But the series did. I was not expecting that. So it did suddenly sort of. And it kind
well,
of.
I remember hearing it was on the radio, and I remember hearing the radio version of it. And then it seemed to get on TV very fast, and then it was. Straight away was a big hit.
Yeah, quite well on BBC Two. I think they put it on at 8:30, which they weren't planning to on BBC Two, having seen it, which is probably why it kind of was successful. Cause, I think people who don't like that kind of comedy then went, oh, that's not for me, it's on at 8:30, and then families watched it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's surreal. It's so surreal, the last 5 years. I just think, what's happened? Because I just thought, oh, great, I've got my series, this will die on its arse and no one will watch it. And I remember thinking, how am I going to speak to my friends who are in comedy, how are they going to cope? I have to have some lines for them to go, it's fine, it doesn't matter, it's fine, I know you'll hate it.
You could have just showed them a copy of A Very British Cult.
Very British
and
Cult.
And that would have been like, oh, you compared. Were Richard
Exactly. So yeah, it's a bit weird.
Yeah. And did it feel like overnight people were, you know, were you being recognised in the street a lot more, and was that hard to cope with? Or
I'd had a bit of that with not going out and Hyperdrive a bit, so there was a very
a bit of that.
So a little bit of it. So there'd been a sort of gradual build up to it, but weirdly, the most time I noticed it was when Series 3 went to BBC One, and I didn't, and that. And I'd been away, I went travelling for 3 months and sort of took some time off, sabbatical, let's call it. Came back, and that was the beginning of this year, and I was, wow, I really noticed the difference. I'd call the midwife I'd been on as well. So suddenly you go from BBC Two to BBC One, and it was like something like 10 million people on average. It was insane.
Well, it's amazing. In this day and age, that is just an unbelievable
it's just
amount. Of,
very
surreal. I mean, even Morecambe and Wye only kind of got 20 million, and that was when there was only three stations. So to get...
Yeah.
Or two stations, probably. So to get that many viewers is...
It's quite weird.
And do you think it partly comes out of the kind of the Russell Brand, Jonathan Ross controversy? Was that around about the same time?
Maybe
with the BBC
that,
kind of trying to get something that wouldn't have people ring. You're probably unlikely to ring up someone and say, I've fucked your granddaughter. You might ring up and say, I fucked your great granddad with my finger through time.
Yeah, through time.
But you're unlikely to do that. So it's kind of. I mean, I really like it. I like all kinds of comedy, and a lot of people kind of turn their nose up at slapstick. And I think it's very hard to do. Slapstick, and there's more to the show than slapstick, but I think the slapstick that you do in the show is incredible. That's that clip of you getting out of a taxi and then closing the door, and then the taxi pulls away,
and the dress
and your dress comes off. I think it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I think it's just
that's because you're seeing my crazy body.
It's just brilliantly timed. The whole thing's brilliantly timed. There's a lot of things happening in a very short amount of time.
Yeah,
Is that picked as kind of is that the Del Boy? Falling through the bar moment of Miranda.
People mention the grave one more. I think,
right.
Just because I think we've seen people fall in a grave before, but I felt I shouldn't do it because I'm sure I've seen someone fall in a grave before. But then I thought of the line, "I'm so mortified, I wish the ground could just swallow me up before it," and I thought that justifies falling in a grave, even if we've seen that before.
Yes.
So you've got to, you know, always reinvent. But yeah, that I think that's what I'm most proud of, but mainly because it was. Really terrifying to do because I'm used to falling to the floor, but you had to clear, you know, the deck. So they had to dig a grave. It was so weird.
See, I did a joke in a grave, one of my plays, where I jumped in a grave and naked and had tried to have sex with a skeleton. That didn't prove to be as popular as
it's less BBC One.
It was. I don't think. Well,
if you'd said such fun at the end, you know, might have worked. Just like giving it that light.
If I turned to camera and gone, whoa. I thought I was the one who was meant to have a boner. That's what I should have done.
Then it would have worked. Listen.
Could have done. If I only had thought of that, I had to spoil it all with my naked body, which wasn't. Well, I suppose it was quite. There was one time I did that. It was my play called Excavating Rita, which I did in 1997, and it was only on stage, although I have been naked quite a lot on TV as well now I think about it. But it always worked because it was always just so ridiculous seeing me run on. But one day, nobody laughed at all. And then it was just me naked about 5 minutes on stage. And it was, I've just felt, and every other time I felt like, oh, it's the character. I felt like the character. I felt like a proper actor, and I thought, I'm the character. But I felt like it was me naked.
Yeah.
And then I get punched out and fall down, and then someone was meant to throw something over me, and they threw it over me, but it missed. So I was just then, just sort of lying on the stage with
your cock out.
Just... And there's nothing I could do because
so
I was...
So you've actually lived most actors' dream, fear dream. I was naked on such shit. I really was.
And I wrote it.
Yeah, exactly.
I wrote it, and then as the writer, oh, this is really good. And then when it came to the first rehearsal, what I was doing, I said, yeah, it doesn't have to... I don't have to be completely naked. But the director's going, yeah, you do. Was going,
you do.
I don't think the writer would have meant that. I think he did. It was insane. So you're going to go on tour? You've got a stand-up tour?
Yeah. I'm
going when was the last time you did stand-up?
But 7 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not going to work, is it?
No.
It's going to be terrible. I stopped. I had like 3 weeks off after Edinburgh.
And then
I
felt
was shit when I came
rusty.
Back.
Yeah.
I was rusty as fuck. Have you done any previews
yet? I'm doing lots of sort of secret warm-up gigs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's all right. I mean... But then that's what, yeah. It's different though, isn't it? For how you do, because I think I'm more theatrical.
Yes.
Generally. And also, I've created a character that I think people want to see, so I sort of have to go with that.
No, I think so I was being flippant.
No, but then,
I think you will be fine. Also, you've got thousands of people who want to come and see you. I'm sort of still grubbing around trying to get these. He'll come to see everything. Tom comes and sees everything. They come, they're butlers, those two.
Are you?
Yeah. They come to quite a lot of stuff.
Wow, that's
but
amazing.
But, you know, you probably can't name all of your fans and say and say what they do. I pretty much... She likes being electrocuted. That's what we know about Ruth.
But you're the godfather of stand-up.
Well, that's...
You are.
Of podcasts, maybe. But,
no,
yeah, it goes back.
It
goes back. I've been going a long time.
Yeah.
Is that better than being very successful?
I don't know, because I don't know you or your life. No.
What's your life? What's it like being Miranda Hart? This is the one that got Stephen Fry. We just slipped.
What's it? Yeah. What's it like being Stephen Fry?
What's it like being Miranda Hart? We asked him, and then he went, I tried to kill myself. How did you know? What's it like being Stephen Fry? Is what I asked him, and that was it. And that he opened up.
Wow, amazing.
What's it like being Miranda?
Desperate to get some dirt. Really. I genuinely don't feel famous or successful, so I don't feel any different. It's weird. I don't, you know how some people own that and kind of like, yeah, I'm famous, and we'll sort of wave at people and expect to be... I get kind of slightly embarrassed if someone recognises me.
Right.
Sort of, I feel like I'm constantly apologising for what I put on television. It's weird. I think it's a very female thing to do and a very British thing to do and a very middle class thing to do.
Yeah.
Just sort of constantly going, really? 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 So, yeah, I don't own it.
I think most performers and most comedians feel like one day they're going to get found out and people are going to go, you're not funny at all. Because I think there's a sort of confidence trick to it, which is partly confidence, it's partly just getting on with it.
Yeah.
But obviously anything you do... Most people aren't, you know, if everyone likes something, I mean, Morecambe and Wise are probably the only people who get close, but I bet you'll still find someone to go, that Eric Morecambe was a
really
talentless
annoyed
cunt.
Me.
You know, so it's, you've not got to take the people who don't like you so seriously anyway, because that's not what it's about.
No, I don't. No. Because I always knew that as many people like the show would hate it. I always knew that. I was never, it's just, even when people are kind, I'm just like, really? I don't. But you know, some people, I'm trying to think of an example of someone who kind of owns their fame. They just sort of like it and they,
well, there are. I think there are a lot of
and love it and need it.
Well, someone like David Walliams, for example, seems to love being famous.
Loves being famous,
and that's fine because I think most a lot of people want to become famous, and you know, and then pretend they don't, which I think is worse than just embracing it.
Yeah.
He seems to like having lots of celebrity friends and marrying supermodels.
Yeah, he likes
being
famous.
Sounds quite good actually. Now sounds quite good, doesn't it? Now? But
I wanted to be famous and then am and find it really odd and don't like it. So it's a really weird. I'm flip the coin. Yeah, it's odd.
And are you friends with other celebrities, or are you friends with the people you were friends with before you were famous?
I'm still friends with all the uni friends and school friends. But I'm just a fan of showbiz and comedy, and so I love meeting people.
Yeah.
So I get really excited, and then you suddenly become friends with Dawn French, Jennifer Saunders. You're like, wow, what's happened to my life? That's cool. But yeah, and I've got a few comedy friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a very odd thing, and I think you can see why people do, because because it's hard. I think if you get very famous, it's hard to go out and.
Yeah, I think
I have not found this. I was doing this run yesterday, and I had I had Richard written on my running vest, and people going, "Go on, Richard!" And there's a part of me going, "Yeah," and then going, "Oh no, they've just read, read my name."
But do you want to be more famous then?
I would like to be slightly more famous.
Oh, really?
I'd like to get 50 more people coming to see every gig I do, but not much more. I think it's a real difficult balance. And 10 years ago, I'd have liked to have been, 10, 15 years ago, I'd have liked to have been the most famous comedian in the world.
Okay.
And I'd like to have been, all of those things that come with that. But now I sort of feel that it's actually it's very fortunate in a way to be at the level I'm at, that people will still largely come and see me, enough of them to make a living, and I can still do what I want to do. Because I think there comes a point where you're so successful that you kind of lose a bit. You seem to have kept very good control of it, but you lose a bit of control of what you can and can't do, and then you're getting too many offers, and you can get taken down the path of people going, oh, go to Armenia and spend some money, and then you could do that every week.
Yeah.
You can do shows like that every week and then forget to do the things you want to do.
I think if you like money, that's the problem.
Yeah.
So I sort of don't have an extravagant taste or need money. So I've been able to turn down adverts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I don't have kids. I don't need money, if you know what I mean. But that's the problem, I think. Is a love of money. Then that brings a whole level of, you're then in a world that your other friends can't sort of join in.
Yeah.
So there are some benefits for working with the BBC. Satire.
Whenever I've had money, I've sort of spent it.
Me too.
Because then otherwise I fear that I won't do any work, which is why I work quite hard, because I feel I have to work hard to pay my mortgage or whatever.
Well, I spend it because I just think you can't take it with you.
Yeah.
And you worked hard, so you deserve a holiday.
That's true.
Yeah. That's why I shall never be rich.
Let's have a holiday.
Let's have fun. Danny Baker says that. He says he just spends all the time. Did you hear?
Yeah, that's great.
It's amazing.
It is great.
And he's never got into trouble. He's just kind of thought, let's just be free with it. And he's had, incredibly generous.
I think it's true. I think if you spend it, and then it means you have to work. As long as you can carry on working, it's okay.
Yeah, if you're lucky
it's just
enough
if you spend
then
it all, then go, no, we don't want that anymore. We're fed up of your midwife-based slapstick. Get off the TV.
My midwife slapstick. That's
the two
show.
Things.
That's the combination.
It'd be quite funny. The babies are quite slippery.
They are.
They are very slippery. I might know the answer to this. This is a new emergency question as well that so far has not borne through. Have you got any unusual phobias?
You think you know the answer?
I think you've got
this.
A phobia. I think you have had a phobia.
I've had quite a few.
But I know.
What's the one you're thinking?
I read that you used to be agoraphobic, which is.
Yeah, sort of not. I'd hate to lay claim to serious agoraphobia.
Yeah.
I had definitely had an agoraphobic blip.
Right. And how did that manifest itself? That's when you can't go outside.
I was having panic attacks, so therefore if you the thought of being in the middle of a row, I don't want to alarm you. but if I'd always have to sit on the aisle, the thought of being somewhere where you can't in a supermarket queue, anything like that. If you had a panic attack then it'd be really embarrassing because you'd have to sort of extricate yourself and it was that.
I used to find it very difficult being in crowds.
Yeah.
When you're out and about, which is weird because I wouldn't mind being in front of crowds, but
no,
I wouldn't
exactly.
like to be in the middle of the crowds.
Yeah.
But I did kind of overcome that a bit. But I think it's sort of insecurity and shyness and.
Yeah, I think so. I'm an introvert naturally, I think.
Yeah.
Which is weird, but a lot of actors are, I think. They sort of get. But I have a fear of a real, and this is a thing apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called, choking.
Oh, my wife has this.
Really?
Yeah. But she genuinely does.
Does she? I don't know what to say. But we're all thinking.
But she genuinely does. She used to be a comedian. My wife. She used to joke about. Actually, there was a joke she did about practicing fellatio by choking on a carrot.
Right.
But then, within about 2 months of us getting married, she choked on a carrot, and luckily I was in the house. She was eating carrot
she
batons.
She was just eating them.
She was just eating them.
So they just were having a little laugh.
They were batons, and she's batons. Used to slightly bigger things than that.
slightly bigger.
But she kind of got what she was choking, and then really panicked.
Yeah.
And I think she was all right. I hit her on the back, which apparently isn't the right thing to do. But then, according to the app I have, it is the right thing to do. But I was on the plane back from Armenia. I was slightly choking on some water. And the air hostess made a big thing saying, we used to be meant to slap me on the back, but now you're not meant to do that.
Because health and safety says we mustn't.
Well, you're meant to just cough. You meant to do that. Coughing will probably bring...
That's too many in my head.
Risk it? It'd be so amazing.
The hole. It's so small. Yeah,
it would be an amazing shot if I get it.
Yeah, it would.
That's why it'll kill most mosquitoes, because most of them will get through there.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so I saved her life anyway, she thinks, but I don't know. Right. I did hit her on the back.
Yeah.
So have you ever choked on anything?
Well, I asked my mum recently, I said, did I choke on something when I was little? And she went, no, you didn't. I went, okay. So obviously something happened. But I haven't. Yeah, but...
Yeah.
It's all right. Well, I hate that thing when you start choking on your own saliva. Do you ever get that? When nothing, and just... Okay.
No one gets
or a bit of water, you feel like an idiot. You're choking on water.
No, that doesn't. That's
what happened to you?
Yeah.
What is this Armenia show? I actually can't wait.
I think it's called Spending Dave's Money. It's like Brewster's Millions.
Okay.
They give you like a big wadge of money and you have to spend it in a day.
It's not actually David's.
It wasn't David Baddiel's money.
No.
He wouldn't have been up for that.
No.
But he always has a big case of money with him anywhere he goes.
Just carries it around.
So I've just got to check. Oh, we still have got time. That is good. I'll ask you the final question from young Mr. Evans.
Oh, yeah.
What did you do on the CBBC programme Stupid, and what was it like?
Oh, okay. That's not the kids' show.
It is. Well, he's very obsessed with kids' shows, this idiot, but so am I. Can't wait till Miles jumps on.
I quite like this sketch. I played a vet.
Right.
And the cat, or was I the owner? No, I was the vet. And somebody brought in a windy cat. And so there was lots, we had a real cat, and then there was lots of... the person who watched Hyperdrive thinks this is hilarious. And then there was a wind machine, so we constantly had to have... with my hair going like that.
Right.
I thought it was really funny, but I find farts funny.
Yeah, they are funny. They definitely are funny in life and
on television comedy.
I saw a good thing today, which you could use in a sketch.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a sketch. This is what your aunts and uncles say to you. Yeah. I saw a good thing today.
Yeah.
But I was in a toilet, and it was one of those hand dryers that keeps on going off every time you go near it.
Yeah.
But it was very powerful and facing and just going really down into the floor.
Right.
And so everything just sort of floated around like it was
brilliant. Done that.
Have you done that?
Yeah, with popcorn.
In the toilet.
Because it happened to my brother-in-law, and he went to the cinema with his five-year-old son.
Yeah.
And a five-year-old son really excited, dad straight, and they put their popcorn down and put on the hand dryer. And my nephew screaming at the popcorn.
Is so it like being in the episode of The Simpsons when they're in space and all those ants go
by?
It's good. Use it.
So I did that.
Put that in one of your scripts. Have you done it already?
I have done it. It's been on the television. Thanks for watching.
Okay. If it wasn't in the opening titles of Not Going Out, then I won't have seen it.
You haven't seen it.
And have you ever seen a ghost?
Do you know? Yes. Yeah.
Have you? Great. I'm
still sceptical. I don't know what ghosts are. I don't know if I believe in ghosts. However, I don't know the answer to this thing where I was staying in this old convent with my aunt and uncle in Gibraltar. And my cousins were in one room. Then there was a interconnecting bathroom with a door to their room. And then me and my sister were in the other room. And I went to the loo in the middle of the night. And there was a story of a nun that had been bricked up in my cousin's bedroom.
Right.
And I was like, bollocks, nun. You know, a ghost don't exist. And anyway, I went to the loo in the middle of the night. And a door opened to their room. And somebody walked through and opened the door into my room and carried on walking through. And I went, Lizzie, what are you doing? why don't go into, well, are you going to my bed? I mean, I honestly just thought, I wasn't scared that what someone went through.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, that's weird. Oh, anyway, so half asleep, went back to bed, turned over and still saw this woman, and genuinely just saw someone scream so loudly, woke everyone up, and I just saw a thing walking along, and the doors opened, and they were fast asleep. So how do you...
You were asleep.
I was asleep. But everyone came in.
Yeah, that was... They were awake because you'd screamed.
So I was asleep when I went to the loo and just dreamt it.
Maybe.
Yeah, probably. But then, the next morning, I told the story, and my aunt went, I don't want to talk about it.
Right.
And then when she left that house, she said it's because three or four people told exactly the same story. I mean... But
had the nun been bricked
is,
up the week before? Because it might just have been the nun escaping.
Getting out.
Yeah.
Alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so weird.
Yeah, it's quite weird.
Yeah, and what... And she said, what's weird is that no one was scared. And then you think, yeah, that is weird. I wasn't really scared when she walked past. And then when I saw it, I was a bit kind of...
Yeah. Perturbed.
Perturbed. What are ghosts meant to be?
Well, you know, there's so many different theories.
Yeah.
My thought is that just they're the visions of mentally ill people.
Right. Well, that makes sense in this anecdote.
Or very people who are very sensitive, to mentally ill stuff.
They're meant
to be like the spirits of restless
on
people.
The way to,
you know, someone who's
heaven.
Been bricked up in a wall.
Yeah.
Probably quite pissed off.
A bit angry, yeah.
When they died.
Yeah.
You know, if you had the opportunity to hang around and come back and have a
piss
go at people
off, then
you'd
you would.
Take it, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If you ever become a ghost, will you come and visit me and let me know
what
whether
do you
it's
want
real
me to
or
do?
Not? I don't know, just get some antics.
Okay.
Get your ghost cheek could be ripped off in a taxi. Then I'd know it was you.
Okay.
We could do a rent-a-ghost version
with
you. And have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
No, just mine.
Yeah.
Does everyone say that?
Yeah.
Is that like the bell?
Not everyone's got such
QI.
It would be. Well, Shappy did, but no one else has. Everyone else has taken.
Shappy got big feet.
She did make the Bigfoot joke, but everyone else has taken it in the deadly earnest that it is intent.
It is.
And
yeah.
I am quite offended that you have mocked my question.
Well, you laughed at my potentially dying father.
That is. What you have done is much worse.
But no, my feet, for my height, are quite petite. They're a size 8.
Yeah, yeah. Size 8?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wear size 8, but I'm a little bit under.
You crazy like, fool!
My shoes are like my condoms, so just always over exaggerate a little bit. And do you ever eat the vegetable asparagus?
Yes.
It's good to know.
Yeah.
When you go to the toilet after
green
eating asparagus,
it's not green.
It's not green.
Stinks.
Does it smell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a sign of?
No, just it's you know it's
sexual magnetism.
No, Dave Gorman, me and had a discussion about it. But some people can't smell their own asparagus wee. Some people's wee doesn't smell of asparagus. But you are very firmly in the camp of it does and you can.
Yeah.
People
but
go
I have
and
a
check
very
these
very keen sense of smell.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I ran a half marathon yesterday. But after the half marathon, my wife said, oh, you've really got to go home and have a shower. You stink. I go, I just ran fucking 13.1 miles for the little disabled kiddies.
Yeah.
Because I smell.
Can I say, big respect, half marathon, that's extraordinary.
Yeah. I'm disappointed in my poor time.
Oh.
But I'm glad I'm still
alive.
You've got
to remember that you're very, very old. I'm old.
It is. I'm going to ask you an Edinburgh Fringe based question as well, which I don't. Well, it isn't. It's from the Edinburgh Fringe podcast. It's not.
Yeah. If what's your crazy system? You turn the book upside down.
Because that's the emergency questions. Then I go back to your questions.
Why can't the emergency questions be the right way up?
Because if then I'd have to write them out every single time I did it. Whereas if they're in the back of the book, then I can. Oh, they could still be the right way up.
Mental.
Yeah, it's just the kind of guy I am. Some of us see ghosts. Some of us turn a book around and use it like it's the book that way around. That's the logic of that.
Yeah.
But you're getting to the heart of me. I might admit something terrible.
I like interviewing, you see, rather than being interviewed. So I like to ask you questions. Yes.
If you had to marry one of the Muppets, which one would you marry?
The thing is, the worst thing about this question is that you've revealed the fact that the Muppets passed me by.
Oh, wow.
I know.
That is a good revelation, though.
It's weird, isn't it?
Do not, but you must know some of the Muppets. Have you never seen any of the Muppets?
Obviously I know Miss Piggy and Kermit.
Yeah.
And the two, I can't even remember their
names. Waldorf
and Randy, no.
Sandler.
See, I can't. That doesn't trip up my
head. Everyone knows it.
Isn't that embarrassing?
It is.
And then it skips you by, and then you just think, shall I go back? Do I start now and watch it? Yes?
Yeah, go. Why don't we? Why don't you go and watch it?
Yeah.
We'll wait, and then you can come back and tell us.
Okay.
We'll all just sit here patiently,
after
and then
Miles.
Go back and go, it's the Swedish chef. It's the Swedish chef, Rich. That's the one I'd like.
Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing. And now I've admitted it to everyone. Hate you.
Right, well, I'm going to ask you another. I thought you were growing up in Torquay, but you didn't. It's not what you were born in Torquay.
Born in Torquay.
But you didn't
grew
grow up
in
there.
Hampshire.
Because I'm from the West Country.
I know, Western Superman. Because you, when we did our film, which was around there,
yeah.
You didn't stay in the crazy hotel. You stayed with your mummy and daddy.
Oh, no, I did stay in the hotel.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
The apart hotel.
Yeah.
It's called the something. And I wrote a blog about it.
Right.
Because there was a hotel that was in two bits, and it was called the Apart Hotel or something like that.
Yeah, the Apart Hotel.
And I made a joke about it being like, I pretended it was like apartheid and all the black people had to sleep in one. And I wrote a blog about how awful it was in this day and age that a hotel could divide its guests along racial lines into two different hotels. And then the hotel got in touch with me and said if I didn't take that blog down, that they would sue me.
Yeah, I can sort of see that.
And I said I wouldn't take it down.
Really?
Yeah.
And what did they do?
They didn't sue me. I said I would say, I put a thing on the bottom saying, this is a joke.
This is a joke.
And they do not discriminate.
Yeah.
But I've written a blog every day, and this was quite early on in the blog. So it must actually have been after 2001, because I still did write about it. But it might be 2003. I'd written a blog every day, and I didn't want to take them down because then my anal desire to have a blog every day would have been destroyed.
Slightly OCD.
Yeah. All right, I'll ask you this question to finish on.
Yeah.
What would it take for you to fellate the actor Keith Allen? What would you need in return?
Oh, wow.
It's a good final question.
Yeah, it requires some quite hardcore thinking
it
as
does.
Well.
It does, but you can have all the time in the world. I'll try and kill flies.
Kill flies. Well,
and not kill you.
Yeah, what would it take? Well, maybe, can you be, like, abstract? Could I go back 10 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that then.
Okay.
Yeah.
You go back 10 years.
I'll go back 10 years.
And fellate what, when he's younger or when you're younger?
No, I just, I'll fellate him
you
now.
You fellate him and then you'd go back 10 years.
And
so
then
you would
I want
know.
To start my life... 10 years ago again.
I see. So you get 10
years.
Extra years of youth.
Yeah.
Of relative youth. All right, lay off me.
Either I'll be where I am now, but be 30.
Yeah.
Or I'd like to go back and do it all again.
Yeah, but it's not bad being 40, is it? I did a show called Oh Fuck, I'm 40, and I did feel terrible at the time. But I would give anything to be 40 now.
No,
I'd fellate Keith Allen to be 40 for a bit.
I don't worry about being 40. I'm loving being 40, and that's the point. So because now I feel quite happy and confident, I want 10 years of being 40, but being 30.
Being 30.
Because then you've got the wisdom and confidence to be 30.
Yeah.
Yeah?
It's a good answer.
Yeah.
And also, if you could go back 10 years, you might forget that you'd done it until the 10 years have passed, and then go, oh, fuck, I've fellated Keith Allen. But then you'd have to live the rest of your life knowing that.
But you've had 10 extra years, and you've done your 10 extra years better.
Yeah.
It's a very reflective point, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
If Keith Allen's penis could travel through time, though, he could get you again.
That's...
He'd do it, and then he'd go, you're least expecting, oh, this again.
Yeah, but then my finger would just bat it away. So it'll be fine.
Well, you've got to go because you have to go and do a thing. And it's been wonderful to have you here. Will you please give a massive round of applause to my guest, Miranda Hart, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Miranda Hart. Music was by Pest. Thanks to Orange Mark at the British Comedy Guide, the staff of the Leicester Square Theatre, and Chris Evans, not that one, or the one from the Avengers Assemble. Don't be stupid. He was the one from Wales. It was produced by Ben Walker. This is a Fuzz, Go Faster Stripe, and Sky Potato production for the Internet by the Video. Cheap stars. If you have enjoyed this podcast, there's lots of ways you can pay us back. You can go to www.gofasterstripe.com and buy the videos. You could come and see me live in my current show, We're All Going to Die, which is shortly coming up in Sheffield on the 23rd of October. That might be sold out by now, but there were a very few tickets left when I recorded this. Peterborough on the 4th of November, Cheltenham on the 15th of November. Go to richardherring.com/WAGTD and you'll be able to get all the dates for next year and this year as well. You can also buy t-shirts of the podcast at richardherring.cottoncart.com. If you don't want to give me any money, you can always give some money to Scope. I've just run a half marathon. Go to ukvirginmoney.com/richardherring and you can give, just pay a pound, just a pound. Or you could go and see The Meaning of Life, which is my new internet series at the Leicester Square Theatre on the 17th of November. But if you can just tell your friends about any of these projects, if you like my stuff and you think they might like it too, that in itself will be payment enough. Thank you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.